brownies. Here we go. Yeah, yeah. Here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, this for my dogs from the east to the west side. Rocket brown and orange with me, baby. Let's ride. Represent the land, let them know. Tell them, here we go, brownies. Here we go. Yeah, here we go.
Welcome in, everybody, to another episode of the Here We Go Brownies podcast. I'm Allie Heisong, coming at you live from Pensacola, Florida. Joined with me, as always, out in beautiful Cleveland, Ohio, we've got Dustin. Dustin, your Cleveland Browns come away with a win 18-13 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And what started out in a pretty good matchup, a pretty good game. The Browns were dominating on offense and defense. And then later on in the game, things got a little closer. Jags bring it in a little bit closer, but the Browns come away 18-13 on the day. How you feeling?
Well, as you know, I raced back home so we could do this live post-game. And I'm just like, I was feeling real calm, enjoying the game at halftime. Like, ah. Man, we're going to have a decisive win on the road. Nope. Hell no. That can't happen. I'm a Browns fan. You got to keep me on my seat cursing at a television till the last throw of the football game. We'll get into this. But this is truly a tale of two halves, right? Clearly, this game was very different in the first half versus the second half. I did get a chance to listen to some of Stefanski's post-game press conference. So we'll get into that. But boy, a much-needed win for the Browns on the road and with a lot of star power like Njoku and guys out. I think this was a team win today. I think it was a hard-fought game at the end. And I got to tell you, I didn't really realize this until they kept bringing it up over and over in the game. Trevor Lawrence is 0-7 now in his last seven games. That is remarkable to me, a guy like that they gave such a big contract. But he has lost seven straight games, Allie. That is remarkable to me that he's lost that many games in a row. And again, he just didn't look. He looked out of sync today out there, and he never really seemed comfortable except for a few moments in the game with that big pass that led to their touchdown. But for most of the day, he just didn't look comfortable out there at all. But we'll get into it.
He didn't look comfortable. And I mean, we can even go back to last year in the matchup versus the Jacksonville Jaguars, where Martin Emerson comes away with two picks on the day and almost came away with one today. Sorry, can't talk. Had a cocktail. We're celebrating. The Browns won. I got some friends in town. We're having a good time. But he was intimidated. He played similarly to Deshaun Watson last week, a lack of confidence, not only in his team, but in himself. Now, I know the weather played a little bit of a factor here, but the Browns were able to rely on their emotion. And we talked about that last week, right? You can fall back on emotion when it's working for you. And that's what they did. And the Browns defense came ready to play. But in the second half, things got a little bit dicey. But at the end of the day, Trevor Lawrence, who was one of the most clutch college quarterbacks that I can remember, is not that in the NFL. And it's kind of an interesting translation when you look at college football quarterbacks and their transition to the National Football League and how it's just so unpredictable.
Well, and that's a great point you bring up, because there was a lot made of Urban Meyer. Is he ruining Trevor Lawrence? Is he not going to be able to become that quarterback? He still has those problems, right? I mean, he still has those same problems that creeped up early in his career are still there, right? Just that inconsistency of a good game, bad game, good game, bad game. But he's rattled off, like I said, seven straight losses. And at some point, you just have to be like, okay, what fundamentally is just not right? You know, what is he doing? Do we have to change the offense for him or something? I'm not saying, I mean, you can do it now because we're not going to play anymore the rest of the year, but he just looked very...
Yeah, it doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, there are some key things in this game. Hats off to Jerry Jeudy. I mentioned it in the podcast this week that he needed to have a good game and really stand out. My goodness, did he make some clutch plays in this game down the stretch to extend that clock and take up some valuable time off of that clock. But Jerry Jeudy, I see why we signed him to what we did. He really is that guy that can be a difference in a game. And today he was, when we needed him on third and eight, he made a huge play for the Cleveland Browns today.
Yeah, let's get into that. And also, I do want to apologize if there is any issues with the stream today. We're experiencing a bit of a storm, as you probably saw in Jacksonville. They're getting some rain. We're getting some rain here in Pensacola. In Pensacola. So apologies if anything goes in and out. Want to give a shout out to our friends over at Teresa's Pizza, as well as Hartville Marketplace and Flea Market. Be sure to check them out. Let's turn it over to the Browns on offense. And last week, the entire story was about Deshaun Watson and the lack of confidence that he had. And then this week, it's an entirely different story. He comes in with loads of confidence, and he is, you know, playing like an above average quarterback. Let's talk about it. What were your thoughts on his performance today?
I got to be honest. At one point, I think he was 7 of 8 in this game. He looked like, well, and interesting enough, I said for him to be successful in this game, he had to get the ball to multiple playmakers in this game. And he did. I mean, he literally did that in this game, where he got it to multiple players. We can talk about Amari Cooper and some of the drops today, but he's a pro's pro. I'm sure he'll be fine next week. I'm not too worried about it. Some days you just have a crappy day. I mean, in other days you have great days. You know, that's why you play next week, and the NFL is 1 week at a time. But the fact that he came out, and I got to say this about him as a just personally as an individual and human being, for the amount of outside noise that was raining down on him this week, and I mean raining down from the national media, in the Cleveland media, personally, everything just thrown at him, and for him to go out and play that type of football game, that to me was impressive in itself, because everybody, you know, deals with everything emotionally, mentally, but for him to go out and just think between the two, you know, white lines of the football field this week was quite impressive, because that was my biggest concern, was everything around him. Was it going to be that distraction, and where we're going to see Dallas 2.0 on the road at Jacksonville? And I did not see that. Now, hats off to Jacksonville today. Their defense tightened up in the second half. I don't know if that was so much more about Watson, you know, coming off a little bit, but I got to tell you, the tackles clearly, I mean, he's still running for his life. That's clear, right? Now, did he make better decisions now, except for maybe one or two plays on his feet this today? Yes, he did. Whereas he didn't do that against Dallas. But we got to get that tackle position fixed, because that's, I mean, he's going to be running his lights out. But I digress.
Yeah, I mean, that's been the issue, right, going into this season, from the offseason, what's going to happen with this offensive line. Yes, you've got the veterans at the interior. You've got Joel Bitonio, Wyatt Teller, Ethan Postich there in the interior of this offensive line. But when you look at these tackles, man, it's questionable. You're not questioning necessarily the talent of the starters, but it's a matter of where are they going to play. Jack Conklin, Jedrick Wills, not available today. We don't really know when that's going to be different, when they will be available. DeJuan Jones goes out with cramping. He was questionable to return for most of the day. And so you're relying on James Hudson, and you're relying on Ifedi on the right side. And that's just not going to get the job done. The Browns, in my opinion, if you want to be a Super Bowl contender, you need to invest in your offensive line. Now, they've done that on the interior. We know that. But to have your two most important pieces, the tackle position, have red flags and question marks, you're not going to go far in the playoffs. But talking about Deshaun Watson on the day, 22 of 34 for 186, averaging 5.5. He was sacked twice on the day. I mean, to have those two sacks, given your offensive line, the situation that is, it's pretty impressive, especially coming off of last week, quarterback rating of 78.8. So it wasn't a lights out performance by Deshaun Watson by any means, but we have said throughout the signing of Deshaun Watson, with the skill position players and the talent that you have on this roster, he does not have to be an elite quarterback for this team to go far. He just has to be an above average quarterback and distribute the football. He was that today. He was able to do that. He was decisive. He was elusive in the pocket, able to make guys miss. And that's all he has to do. Now we can talk about some decisions that has to get cleaned up. There are some other things. You know, there are some other things, but when we look, you know, from 30,000 feet at the play of Deshaun Watson today, not bad.
Well, and you know, you're right. For most of the day today, he made the right decision. We also saw that when he can be elusive on his feet, like he was in Houston, right, and go try to get that first down. Listening to the presser availability of Kevin Stefanski this afternoon, post game, and he goes, yeah, that's why I was mad at Deshaun Watson, because late in that game, he should have taken that sack. And of course, we know he was just trying to be the hero, throw a ball downfield to see if he could get somebody open. Mm-hmm. But if he takes the sack there, 37 seconds come off that clock, right? That's very valuable in a game where you're doing that. So we all know yeah, are those the kind of things you just, you know, in the moment, you throw it, hoping the guy's downfield, big play. And man, if you take a sack there, that clock just keeps on burning. And all that happens. Now, Ali, I do have a question for you about this. And this was interesting. When we got the safety in this football game, they weren't able to do an onside kick. And I'm assuming that's because of the NFL rules. If you get a safety, you have to kick the ball at least 10 yards to your opponent, because it seems like there was a lot of conversation happening on both sides with NFL referees huddling. But it seems like from what, and I couldn't hear it because the bar was loud, but I believe they weren't able to do an onside kick. Is that correct? Because it was of the safety, that's the rule?
Yeah, really an inopportune time to take a safety there if you're Jacksonville. One, obviously, because it's in the final seconds of the game, and you lose every ounce of momentum that you may have had and every opportunity to, at that point, most opportunities to win the football game if you're Jacksonville. Right. And also for that, you have to punt the ball away and it has to go further than 10 yards or 10 yards at least. So yeah, very, which so inopportune for several reasons. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why it was that weird, like kick straight up in the air. I mean, I was like, I think that's the first time I've ever seen that in a football game where the ball literally just looks like he punted it straight up just to fall like 10 or 12 yards on the other. It was crazy, but no, I was like, oh crap, they can do an onside kick. I'm like, wait a minute. No, safety rules say that you clearly have
to. Yeah, they got to punt it away. Yeah.
Yeah, you have to punt it away. That's clearly, I mean, that is the rule, has to punt. Mm-hmm. So that was interesting. But no, crazy game, like crazy game. Penalties, man, those have got to be cleaned up in this football game. It was another week of the Browns. I think everybody was screaming at the bar when it was four, you know, second down, third down, and we were what, third and like half the size of Lake Erie. On offense to try to get the ball. I'm like, man, you got to get that cleaned up. Now, I will say this. With the tackle position like it is, I think Wyatt Teller and some of those interior guys, right, are having to do a little more work, and they're probably holding longer than they probably typically would in a game to try to keep people off Deshaun. So I think there's a little bit of you're trying to hold back as long as you can with these guys so you don't get called for a penalty, hopefully. But, man, they were just flagging this one right after another. So,
well, if you go back and you listen to my conversation with Stump Mitchell, excuse me, last week on the Stump Talk podcast, which you can find here on AD Media, it'll be streamed on Here We Go Brownies every single week, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. I asked him that question. You know, you don't, you're not teaching these guys, you're not coaching these guys to commit these penalties. Obviously, coaches aren't telling them to go out and do these things, but why isn't it cleaned up by now? Why did you go all off season into the first 2 weeks and you are just there's penalties all around? That's what I don't understand. And it's disheartening, it's discouraging, but it's also concerning. Like, what were you doing all off season? And the pre-snap penalties is what's the most concerning. I can live with a hold here and there. I can live with the DPI, you know, guys are making football plays, but it's the pre-snap stuff that just really gets under my skin. And I don't know why. I don't know what the answer is or how you clean that up. But internally, I think this Browns organization has a lot of work to do.
Yeah, like I said, they got to clean up these penalties. Thank God they have a home game this week, you know, so obviously crowd noise won't be an issue, you know, when we're on offense, which will be nice. But yeah, some of those pre-snap penalties, I mean, but that's the problem, right? If you get pre-snap penalties, that just put your offense in such a hole, right? Like now it's first and 15, second and 20, third and 20. Like you're giving yourself no hope at that point to win a football game, right? Yeah. And thank God we had a good enough defense today that kept Trevor Lawrence in check. And man, I tell you what, that interior defensive line today, man, they played their lights out. Because I tell you what, for a lot of the game today, he just was hurried. Man, and like you said, a couple times the Browns had a couple turnovers in this game that literally was like in their hands. You know, we were joking. It's like, that's why he's a corner, not a wide receiver. Man, those, you know, go through his hands. And it's like, man, it's just, but again, they're on top of the ball, right? That's what you want. They're on top of it. They're in space. But yeah, other than the one drive, Jacksonville didn't have a lot to show today.
So let's talk about that on defense. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends over at True Fan Travel. If you are looking to go to a Browns away game this season, check them out. Go join the party. That is True Fan Travel. And before we get into the defense, here's a quick word from our friends over at Lorello Vineyards.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Woof, woof.
Hello, welcome to Lorello Vineyards, Larry and Kim Lorello. We have a beautiful Here We Go Brownies wine that we would like to offer to you this season as we did last season. We have several other award-winning wines, lovely entertainment and events coming this summer. So come and see us. Wine a bit. You'll feel better.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you at the Muni lot this fall. Go Browns.
So turning it over to the defense, you were right. They were kind of playing with their hair on fire, and that's what they do. You know, when things are going their way, they're able to fall back onto their emotion. So when it's good, but when it's bad and they have to fall back on their emotion, man, that's when it's a disaster. I think that they were playing pretty well for the most part. I loved what I saw from JOK. The speed, the dynamic ability from Jeremiah Owusu-Koramo is unmatched. I'm just so glad that the Browns were able to go out and get that guy. Grant Delpit being another one, you know, just really kind of forming into the player that we knew he was going to be when they drafted him in the second round a couple of years ago. But Myles Garrett, I want to talk about this. Why is it every single week, and I wish I could put money on it, I wish I could bet this, that he is going to be offsides at some point? Now, that one, I pretty much disagree with the fact that he was in the neutral zone. I don't think he was. He flinched, but he wasn't in it. But he's going to get called for it every single solitary week.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, like, I don't know why they do that. I think they just, I don't know if they're trying to give one to the opponent. It was very frustrating to watch, but it was just weird every week. You're right. There should be a bet.
Every single week.
Yeah, I mean,
I wish I could.
There's got to be a Las Vegas bet, right? Like, hey, Miles over under, it gets, you know.
Can't make that bet in Florida. Trust me, I've tried. Let's.
Holly's like $50 right there.
I'll add it to my parlay every week because that one's guaranteed to hit. Now, I understand he is just a dynamic player. He's always going to get after the quarterback and do it in such a just a disruptive fashion every single time, every single snap. And they have to account for that sometimes. And I know that the calls aren't always going to go in his direction, but man, every single week to get that call at least once a game, it's pretty frustrating. But let's talk about it. Who were some guys on defense that really stood out to you?
Well, right. I mean, I think that was, to me, I mean, Myles Garrett got a sack in this game, but Wright was really the emotional flip of this game. Like that literally switched the momentum in this game because it was close. It was tight for him to be able to do that. That was, to me, the momentum shift in this game. And, man, almost sacked him out of the back of the end zone. It was such a deep sack. It was crazy how he was able to get in there. Again, that interior deep. I mean, like, it's just the way they played today, it was amazing to me. And I don't know who was number 72 for the Browns today that isn't normally in the lineup, but man, he was all over the field today. He's another guy I'm assuming is filling in for Maurice Hurst because Maurice is out, but number 72, that guy deserves some kudos today because whoever he was, he played his ass off today.
Yeah, that is, that will be Quentin Jefferson.
Yeah.
Is who that would be.
Yeah. Let me just tell you, Quentin Jefferson, you played your ass off today. So kudos to you. And if Schwartz, you need to give that guy an attaboy because he played, talk about a guy that goes into a role, next man up. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jefferson was next man up today. Cause it's, I don't know if you know, Sally, but I felt like number 72 was everywhere today. And I was like, Well, who else 72? Like, I haven't seen.
Yeah, we can go through the stat line. I mean, the defense was playing very well. JOK, he had 7 total tackles on the day. Excuse me. 6 solos, 2 TFLs. Grant Delpit, he had 2 TFLs, 5 tackles. Jordan Hicks, he was all over the field also with 3 solos, 1 sack, 1 TFL. Myles Garrett, 3-1-1. I mean, the list goes on. You can look at this stat line, and almost every defensive player, for the most part, that was available today made an impact. And that's what you just like to see. You know, it's not just a one-man show. You see the distribution of talent in disrupting this Jags offense. I was very impressed. And I thought Grant Delpit, JOK, Miles, you know, they are your core players. Like on, you know, the defensive line, your linebackers and your safeties, you know, or defensive backs, to have a stud in each of that room makes such a difference when you've got such a good defense.
Yeah, Ali, what do you make of obviously JOK making a lot of contact in the game? Him wearing the Guardian cap today. I thought that was interesting to see him wearing that today. Mm-hmm. But I think I literally was thinking, boy, he's going to have a lot of contact today, right? Like he's going to be on there on a lot of plays where he's making hits. And I thought that was interesting. You know, a lot of people said this could be a norm in a couple of years where a lot of these players will be wearing them. But I think that's the first time I've seen JOK wearing the Guardian cap in a game. So
Yeah. Well, it was. This was the first week that he did that. And what I have to say is good for him. You know, he is valuing his health and his future. And I applaud that. You know, it does take some getting used to when you're looking at it, right? You kind of think, well, that looks weird, because it does. But at the end of the day, he is protecting himself. He's protecting his future, and good for him, especially seeing what happened to Tua the other night. You know, that is just nasty. That's alarming. I think that there's guys out there that are, I think Denzel should wear one. He should really consider wearing one of those Guardian hats. But no, good for him. I thought that was a good move.
You know, and, you know, the other thing today that, and we talked about this a little earlier, but it was the distribution of the ball to all the different playmakers today on offense. I think that was a key to this football game, because if you look at all the players that got the ball today, it was very well distributed. And we actually, for at times, ran the ball pretty well for kind of being somewhat depleted at the running back position. But, you know, we actually fared our own. You know, I think that's what kept us in this game, is we kept the Jacksonville defense honest, and we were able to get some chunk plays on the run game today.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. And let's take a look at this Browns offense. This is brought to you by our friends over at City Barbecue. Be sure to go check them out for pretty much all of your barbecue needs. What more could you need? Head on over to City Barbecue. Starting with Deshaun Watson, I mentioned it, 22 of 34 for 186, averaging 5.5 with a 78.8 quarterback rating. Jerome Ford, he was able to run the ball today, along with him and Deontay Foreman. The run game was working, and it's just a pretty offense when the Browns are able to run the football. Now, I know they only scored 18 points, but they were able to move the ball, and it just builds the confidence and adds to the confidence of the receivers and, of course, to Deshaun Watson when they are able to get the ball moving, especially in the run game. Jerome Ford, 7 carries for 64, averaging 9.1 a pop. His longest on the day was 36 yards. Deontay Foreman, he got a lot of carries today, 14 for 42, averaging 3. Deshaun Watson, he ran the ball 5 times for 20 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 rushing touchdown. Jameis Winston, he was in there for some quarterback sneaks. And Pierre Strong, he wasn't able to get any positive yardage, 1 carry for -5. So that's not great, but not the end of the world. But the Browns were able to run the ball. Now, Not a ton of attempts here. I mean, 29 carries total for 125 yards, 1 touchdown. You know, it's not like they were running the ball down Jacksonville Jaguars' throats by any stretch of the imagination, but they were able to do it effectively enough to open up the pass game. So taking a look at the pass game, Jerry Jeudy, 5 receptions for 73, averaging 14.6 on 6 targets. 5 receptions on 6 targets for 73 yards. Elijah Moore, 6 for 44 on 8 targets. His longest on the day was 22 yards. David Bell, also before he got hurt, 3 receptions for 27. Amari Cooper, 3 for 11. Uncharacteristic drop for him today. And he also had that last week as well. Jordan Akins, 1 for 10. Pierre Strong, 1 for 10. So they were able to get the ball moving, right? They were distributing the football. A bunch of different guys that I just rattled off. And that was nice. That was good to see. It wasn't just relying on one person to do everything. Just like the defense, you know, you were able kind of to distribute the talent. On offense, you were able to distribute the football.
Well, yeah, at the end of the day, that's what keeps your opponent's defense kind of at bay, right? They don't know where that ball is going. When you distribute it around like that, there's not, like, it's just not one guy it's going to in a game like this. So again, the fact that the Cleveland Browns are able to distribute the ball today, and we'll get into this, but man, our special teams today, man, we should give a game ball to the special teams today, because man, what a great decision was made late in this football game that changed the complete, in my opinion, outcome of this game. So
let's get into it. Let's talk about the special teams then. We're going to talk about the special teams brought to you by our friends over at Western Reserve Distillers. You can get your official Here We Go Brownies whiskey over at Western Reserve Distillers. Let's talk about special teams. You mentioned that key play that happened late in the game where they elected to punt the ball away and pin them down the 1 yard line, which was just a bomb, man. Let's get back to that. But Corey Bohorquez last week, I did not think played well in week one. I did not think that Corey Bohorquez was the player that we know him to be, but today we have a punter. He's pretty good.
Well, and the fact, I mean, cause you think about it, that, what was that, 58 yard field goal? They said roughly that would have been if we would have ran Dustin out there. He misses and you give him the ball at midfield, basically, right? And that changes the whole dynamic of the football game. So I think that was the right move to do there, even though I think he's 100% among the active guys this year for 50-plus 50 plus or more on the kicks, but you're on the road, it's raining, you know, all kinds of crap can happen. But man, when you pin, no matter who you are, or if you're home or away, and you put your opponent on the 1 yard line, boy, your defense is like licking their chops, right? Because now that quarterback is setting back halfway into that end zone. And, you know, he's got to get that ball out quick, right? And we saw, boom, here came Wright out of nowhere, and it was done. Safety, five, you know, 3 point, you know, all of a sudden you got 2 more points on the board. The Browns get the ball back. Crazy turn of events late in this football game. And that was, to me, the keys of the game right there, was those last 2 minutes of what took place in that game right there.
Well, it got dicey, right? And I think the Browns showed a lot of confidence in themselves and just composure to be able to kind of navigate through that. I think the last possession that the Browns had, Deshaun Watson, it was fourth and whatever. He kind of throws in a very dangerous fashion, throws the ball, and thankfully it was incomplete, but very easily could have been picked off. And that would have been truly and honestly devastating. I thought the decision for that was tough. That was difficult to get your head around as a fan to say,
well, that's why
just run in or just take the sack, like just run the clock down. That was pretty difficult, but to show that composure and put the trust in special teams who did not perform well last week. Now, to their credit, nobody performed well last week for the Cleveland Browns, but this week to put the trust in your special teams, essentially to go win the football game. I think that says a lot.
Yeah. And that's what, and you know, Stefanski was very transparent about, that's why I got into the ear of Deshaun and got mad at him late in the game on the sideline, was because, like, man, you just got to take a sack there because the clock just clicks, 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 you know, and you can get valuable time off the clock. But, you know, more importantly, this was a team win today. Like you said, there wasn't, I mean, you can look at, you could say, did the defense win it? Did the offense win it? It was a team effort today. And I think this is one of those where I think the team had to kind of internalize what happened last week and go out and win one for the entire team, every guy on that roster today. And especially with guys like David Njoku that weren't able to go today, Maurice and a bunch of other guys that were, you know, on injury, you know, that are out. I think this was a team win. And I think this really bodes well for the Browns going into next week against the Giants with a little bit of confidence, be able to come back home. But man, look around the league today. I mean, you have the Raiders beating the Ravens at home. I mean, you have the Saints whooping the Cowboys. I mean, they always say week one's weird, but man, week two was even a little weirder because,
well, I mean, we said that we knew it would be.
Yeah. And for us to sit here and say the Baltimore Ravens are 0-2, that doesn't even sound right, but I love it. Give it to me. Give it to me all day.
Especially the two AFC teams. Feels pretty good, doesn't it?
Yeah. But I'm telling you, you know, I'm going out to Las Vegas to watch that game. So, but you know, I also feel really confident about it's Gardner Minshew. And I don't know if you remember, Myles Garrett had a really great game last year against Gardner Minshew.
I do remember that. I do remember that. Thank you for reminding me.
He was a one-man wrecking crew against Gardner Minshew. So I feel a little confidence that he knows the tales of Gardner Minshew, and that'll help us in that game. But, man, what happened around the league today, and I don't know if we have a score update, Allie, what's happening out in Denver with the Seattle – or excuse me, Denver and Pittsburgh, what that score is now. But
we'll go around the league here in just a moment.
Yeah.
Real quick, want to give a shout-out to our friends over at Stadium Mustard. It is loved by millions. Be sure to head on over to stadiummustard.com to shop now, as well as head over to Five Iron Golf. Look, I love golfing. It's raining right now. We can't go golfing. So if I was in Cleveland, I'd be at Five Iron Golf. You can watch games. You can eat your food. You can practice your golf swing. And head on over.
And get that code Brownie40 for 40% off hourly rentals. I mean, that's like half off almost. I mean, come on. Who wouldn't want to do that? Brownie40.
That's pretty good. Before we go around the league, I want to hand out some game balls. I want to start on the offensive side of the ball. Let's hand out some game balls. Let's look, when we came off that loss to the Cowboys, there wasn't a lot of positive. Today, there is. There's some good things to talk about, and it's fun. Podcasting after a win is so much more fun. So let's give out some game balls. Who are you going to start with on the offensive side of the ball?
For me, on the offensive side, Jerry Jeudy. You know, I mentioned earlier this week he had to have a game and stand out, and boy, did he ever look good today. I think you mentioned that 19 yards was he averaging, right, on catches. That's incredible, right? So
14-6,
Yeah, 40. So clearly after the catch, he can make guys separate. And why did we get him? Speed, right? We know Jerry Jeudy has that breakaway speed once he gets the ball. That's why we got him. So my game ball goes to Jerry Jeudy, especially because he got a huge first down in a game that was very stagnant, very tight, and kept that ball going in the football game. So my game ball goes to Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, I think that's a kind of the obvious one to give this to. I'm going to go with Elijah Moore here. On 8 targets, he caught 6 of them for 44 yards, averaging 7.3. Look, I think these two guys, they had a hell of a day, you know, as Cleveland Browns on the offense. Like this was pretty fun to watch. Your gadget type player in Elijah Moore, Jerry Jeudy in kind of his standout game so far in a Browns uniform. I do want to talk about this question here. I got to go find it, but it was something along the lines of, look, if Jerry Jeudy continues to outplay Amari, you know, can we kind of expect him to be wide receiver one? I've got to find it here in the comments. But, you know, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. No.
Guess
I mean, that's way too – I think that's way too early. I mean, Amari Cooper had his best game as a wide receiver last year. Like I said, he's a pro's pro. Amari Cooper will bounce back. I think he'll – I mean, we could be literally, for the sake of podcasting, having the same conversation next week. And Jerry Jeudy, we flip the script, and that's 6 targets for 90 yards for Amari Cooper, right?
Exactly.
Amari Cooper just had a bad day. I mean, sometimes you just have a bad day at the office. You learn from
it. I have plenty
of
those.
Well, hopefully you have more good than you do bad. But, but you know, at the end of the day, yeah, I think, I would know. I mean, for as long as Amari Cooper's been in this league – and consistently played now for 3 football teams at a high level. Yeah, I think Amari.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, with the understanding of, look, Jerry Jeudy's really good too. So I think having a 1A, 1B option is not outside of the realm of possibilities. Yeah. But to say, you know, that he's going to kind of take over as wide receiver one. No, I'm not comfortable saying that. I think the Browns are blessed to have a couple of really good options. Now, turning it over to the defensive side of the ball, Dustin, who are you giving your game ball to?
On the defensive side of the ball, I'm going to give it to Wright. Today, like I said, he was the one that really changed the entire complexity of this football game. I mean, there's probably 5 guys on defense you could have given the game ball today too. But at the end of the day, I'm going to give it to Wright because of that key play when the game was tight to give us more points and give us the ball back. So it was like a double positive for the Browns in that situation.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Jeremiah Usu-Koramoa, JOK, 7 total tackles, 6 solo, and 2 TFLs. I just liked what I saw out of him today. Now, I know the stat line doesn't like really pop out at you, but in terms of everybody else on this defense, it certainly does. But I just really liked the shiftiness that he was playing with, the speed. Mm-hmm. He just looked like he was pissed off from last week. This is a player that looked like he was pissed off and was going to go out and make a statement. And he did just that. So my game ball goes to JOK. Now, if we turn it over to the special teams, I think you kind of split it in half. One to Dustin and one to Corey Bohorquez and say, you both did great. You did your jobs.
Yeah. I think Dustin was 3 of 3 on the day. Corey did everything he did in this game to keep field position in the Browns positive space. So, yeah, at the end of the day, I think I can go with that. But, you know, Dustin Hopkins also went 3 of 3, man. You got to get those tough kicks on the road. And, man, I mean, that kicker for Jacksonville, man, hit that upright and it bounced. And I got to tell you, it's like, especially on the road, man, and when you can make kicks on the road with your field goal kicker, that is so, so important because you just got to get points like that on the road. And that's 9 points of our 18 today. So, I mean,
right, exactly.
I mean, he scored half of our offense today. I mean, at the end of the day, that's mm-hmm. half of our entire offense was Dustin Hopkins going out there and lining up and kicking 3 field goals.
Yeah, one of the best traits that Andrew Berry has made is bringing in Dustin Hopkins to this organization who went 3 of 3 on the day. His longest was 53. I mean, he scored 10 points today. He scored 10 points
with the extra
18.
Point.
So when you look at Corey Bohorquez,
more than half the points. There you
go. Yes, he did. Yeah, that's true. He punted he did punt for 218 yards, averaging 43.6 per punt. And 3 of them were within the 20-yard line. His longest on the day was 64 yards. So yeah, hats off to them. I think that Bubba Ventrone had these guys ready to go because they also had a bad performance last week. To see everybody bounce back, I think was very reassuring. Now, transparency, this was not like a beautiful game. There were plenty of things to not be happy about. There were plenty of things that clearly need cleaning up for next week. But a win is a win. It doesn't matter. You have a win in the win column against an AFC opponent. That really matters, especially when you go around the league. You see some teams like Baltimore, we mentioned, that are 0-2 to AFC teams. Not great for their start. So while things weren't necessarily pretty, you have a better taste in your mouth. You're more optimistic looking ahead to this Browns season. There are still good things to come, but I do want to go around the league, but we do want to give a shout out to our friends over at Greater Cleveland Aquarium, as well as Lady Caroline Cruise Ship and Believeland Landscaping and Pressure Washing. So be sure to check them all out, but let's go around the league to wrap up. On the day, some weird stuff went on. The Vikings beat the Niners in Minnesota. They beat them 23-17. Justin Jefferson had like a 97-yard touchdown. It was insane. Seattle comes away with a win in Foxborough, 23-20. Man, this Patriots team, who so many people were ready to write off and say they're the worst team in the league, they're scrappy. This is a scrappy football team. And we kind of knew they would be under this regime, but they don't have the talent, but they have the attitude. They have the grit.
Correct.
The Commanders come away with a win 21-18 over the Giants in Washington. Chargers crushed the Panthers 26-3. Saints crushed the Cowboys 44-19 in Dallas, by the way. So funny how things can quickly change. Packers beat the Colts. You had Malik Willis starting at quarterback for the Green Bay Packers and beat the Colts at home. The Jets beat the Titans 24-17. The Buccaneers come away with a win over the Detroit Lions in Detroit 20-16.
We talked about this. Yeah. We thought that could be a...
Yep. And some other surprising things. The Raiders beat the Ravens 26-23 in Baltimore, by the way. Now, looking at these games that are currently on, the Cardinals are up on the Rams 31-3.
Whoa.
31-3. Another scrappy team. A team that we didn't really expect to be that good. The Arizona Cardinals, they're pretty scrappy. The Bengals are up 16-10 on the Chiefs at half. The Steelers are up 10-0 on the Broncos. And then tonight we look ahead to the Bears at the Texans. So you just never know what's going to happen in the National Football League. Say that. Well, you know what, and how do I know that? Because I place these bets and I lose on almost all of them.
I never, never, never root for the Chiefs. But I got to tell you, if we end this day with the Ravens 0-2 and the Bengals 0-2, which pretty much a lot of people had them 1-2 in the division this year, I will take that all day long for them to be 0-2 and for us to be 1-1. I don't know about that Denver team. I feel like Denver can come back. 10 points isn't crazy.
It's hard to tell right now. It's hard to tell. There's too many teams out there that we just don't know what they're going to be, what they're going to do. What their identity is or is not. And Denver's one of them. Like, I just don't know. And same with Pittsburgh. Like, I don't know what they're going to do or who they're ultimately going to be.
Well, I tell you this though, we talked about this in some of our preseason shows, but the Chargers are going to be a good football team. And I think they're going to be a tough out when they come to Cleveland. Everybody's like, oh, this isn't going to be their year, but they're one of those, you know, I call it those 40% of teams that don't, you know, it gets flipped in the playoffs every year. You know, 40% of those teams are new teams coming in. Chargers could be one of those sneaky 7-seed type of teams that comes in and makes the playoffs this year just because they
definitely.
Well, they're well coached, right? Like,
they're well coached and they've got a great quarterback. It's a good recipe.
Exactly. Those are two good, well coached quarterback, right? Those are recipes for
that'll probably get you pretty far in most instances. Yeah, definitely.
You'd hope so.
All right, Dustin, any closing thoughts as we wrap up on a Browns game day edition of the Here We Go Browns podcast?
Yeah, join us this Wednesday, 8 o'clock Eastern. And then, of course, join the Stump Talk podcast Tuesday night at 7. We're excited for that. But David's going to have a lot to talk about on Wednesday with injury reports. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned also, guys, for some giveaways. And those that won today, I'll reach out to you about winning some of the things that we won. So look for some big giveaways, guys, as well, as we're excited to bring a lot of fun things from our sponsors that help us with the show. And we couldn't do it without their help and continuing this wonderful platform that we bring this to you guys each and every week around the year.
Yeah. it's a lot of fun, and it's even more fun after a Browns win. Thanks, always, everybody.
Always a little bit better, right?
Always a little bit easier, and it makes for an easier Wednesday show most of the time because we don't have to whine and complain. But nonetheless, we appreciate you all for joining us. Stay safe, stay healthy, and as always, Browns fans, go Browns.
Go Browns.